Good afternoon. We're here from Partick Free Church of Scotland continuing. And we hold our services at 2 Thornwood Terrace. That's just off Dumbarton Road, up from the police station. We meet on the Lord's Day at 11 a.m. and again 6:30 p.m. And we would like to extend a warm welcome to you all to come along and to hear something of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And you may well be wondering, why do we need to hear the gospel? Why is it so important? The gospel is vitally important, and we all need to hear it and understand it, because we are made in the image of God. God has made us. He is our creator. And as part of his creatorship over us, he has put his law in our hearts, and he has given us the Ten Commandments to obey. The Ten Commandments begin, "Thou shalt have no other gods before me." And the second commandment will tell us, "Thou shalt not make any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above or in the earth beneath." Commandment number 3 would tell us, "Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who taketh his name in vain." And the 4th commandment is, "Remember the Sabbath day." The 5th commandment is, "To honor thy father and thy mother." The 6th commandment is, "Thou shalt not kill." The 7th, "Thou shalt not commit adultery." The 8th, "Thou shalt not steal." The 9th, "Thou shalt not bear false witness," or "Thou shalt not lie." Or the 10th one is, "Thou shalt not covet." Now God has given these commandments to every one of us. We have these commandments written in the Word of God, the Bible. But we also have these commandments written in our hearts. And we know that when we have broken it, our conscience tells us so. Because God has given us a conscience to help us and to guide us, that we might know how to live. But the Bible is quite clear. It tells us that we've all sinned. We've all broken God's law. Every one of us, without exception. We might not have broken the commandments in a physical manner. For instance, I'm quite sure that the most people here who are passing by and who are hearing this have never actually physically murdered anyone. But nevertheless, we have broken that commandment, "Thou shalt not kill," because we can murder with our words. We can have a right go at someone with our words. And that is murder by speech. And we can have terrible thoughts about an individual. We can commit heart murder. We can have evil thoughts against our families, our friends, and our enemies without a cause. And the Lord Jesus Christ would tell us, as he expanded on the Ten Commandments in the Sermon on the Mount, that to hate someone in your heart without a reason is to be guilty of heart murder. And therefore we have broken God's law. We have broken the commandment number 6 that tells us, "Thou shalt not kill." We have done that in thought or in word. And therefore the Bible also tells us that if we have broken one commandment, we have broken them all. We cannot escape. We have broken every single commandment. None of us have ever kept the commandments as far as God is concerned. And therefore, before God, we are guilty. And this is something that you carry around with you day after day, moment after moment. You have this guilty conscience. Where did it come from? Why do you have it? You have it because you have sinned. And you've sinned before God. And God has this against you. And that's why it's so important that we hear about the Lord Jesus Christ, because he has done something about our sin. You see, we cannot deal with our sin ourselves. Sin is far too strong. It's far too powerful. It has a tremendous grip upon us. And that's why Jesus came from the realms of glory, from heaven itself, in order to deal with sin, because we cannot deal with it ourselves. We don't have the power. We don't have the ability. We don't have the desire by nature to deal with this tremendous problem. But Jesus came, and Jesus did something about it. What did he do? You may well be asking, what did he do? Why is it so important to hear about Jesus and to hear about his work? It's so important because he went to the cross. There he suffered. There he died. Why did he suffer? Why did he die? He wasn't a criminal. He had no sin. He could not sin. It was impossible for him to sin. But on the cross, God laid upon him the iniquities and the sins of others. He was bruised for our iniquities, the Bible tells us. And Jesus there suffered and offered up himself that once for all perfect sacrifice to take away the penalty of our sins. That's what he did. And no wonder we're on the street. No wonder we want to tell this message to you. Because this is vitally important that you understand and grasp and respond to this message. Because only through Jesus can we have the forgiveness of sins. Only through the Lord Jesus Christ can we be made right with God. Only with having Christ as our Savior will we be welcomed into heaven. It's only through him. Many people think that they'll get to heaven by their own good works and their own good actions. Or maybe they think that they'll get to heaven by being religious and going to the Mass or going to church or saying prayers or reading their Bibles or whatever. All of these things may be good to a certain extent, but they'll never take you to heaven. You need something more than that. You need something more than your own righteousness. What is it you need? You need the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what happens when you come to trust upon him, when you call upon his glorious name. His righteousness, his divine, perfect righteousness is imputed to you, and he receives your sins. There's the wonderful transaction. It's invisible. Only the divine mind can see it, but nevertheless it's real. And those who come to Christ know it's real. How do we know it's real? Because the guilt of sin has been taken away. The burden that we once carried of our sins has been taken away. It has been dealt with by Jesus Christ. That's what happened. That's the gospel. That's the very essence of it. That's what makes the gospel tick. This is the heartbeat of the gospel. This is the message that God has given us from heaven that every one of us must hear, and we must respond. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ, during his 3 years of public ministry, he went around Jerusalem and Galilee. In Galilee, what did he do? He preached the gospel. He performed wonderful miracles. He lived a perfect life, and he demonstrated to all around that he was the long-promised, long-sought-after Messiah. But what did they do? They crucified him. They said, "We will not have this man to reign over us. We will not follow the Lord Jesus Christ. We will not believe upon him. We want Pilate to be our king. We have no king but Caesar," they said. And when Pilate asked, "What shall I do then with the Lord Jesus Christ? What shall I do with Christ?" "Crucify him! Crucify him!" they said. "His blood be upon us and upon our children." That's what they said. A terrible crime was committed when they rejected the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Jews have been suffering ever since. Ever since they despised and rejected their Messiah, they have been suffering. The day will come, we do believe, because the Bible tells us, the day will come when they will look upon him whom they have pierced. The day will come when they will mourn for him as an only child. They will begin to recognize their error and they will embrace him. And it will be a tremendous time for the church and for the world when the Jews recognize Christ whom they crucified over 2,000 years ago. But the point I want to press home with you this afternoon is that as the Jews rejected Christ, as the Jews said to Pilate, crucify him, crucify him, you can do exactly the same. You're hearing something about the Lord Jesus. We are telling you about the Son of God who came to this world in order to rescue sinners because we cannot rescue ourselves. We are telling you to come and to embrace him. We are telling you to come, repent, and believe the gospel. Turn away from your evil ways and embrace the Lord Jesus. That's what we're saying to you. And I fear many of you are just like the Jews. You are saying, in effect, crucify him. Crucify him. You are saying, in effect, we will not have this man to reign over us. We will not embrace the Lord Jesus. We will not call upon the Son of God. We will not ask him to save us. Instead, we will pursue our own ways. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 16, verse 25, there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. There is a way that seems right to you. It seems right to reject Lord Jesus. How can someone who suffered on Calvary's tree, how can someone who looked pathetic, who was rejected, who was despised and forsaken and hated, who was nailed to a cross, who died a most terrible death, how can this person save me? It's impossible. Hear what the Bible says, there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. You see, for Christ to suffer and die was God's way of dealing with our sin. It wasn't man's way. It was God's way. It was his perfect way. It was the way of infinite wisdom. It was the way of the Son of God. He had to become a man in order to save us. And that's what he did. And if you reject him, what are you saying? You are saying, in effect, there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. And if we will reject this salvation that is found in Christ, our end will be death. It will not just be physical death, it will be eternal death. It will be eternally separated from the gracious presence of God forever and forever. If we reject the gospel, there is no other gospel coming from God. There is no other way to be reconciled. There's no other message coming from God. This is it. Look at the sufferings of Christ. The Bible tells us we have not been redeemed with perishable things like silver or gold, but by the precious blood of Christ. Can you imagine the immense cost of providing salvation for God's people? The Son of God had to leave heaven. He had to become like us. He had to humble himself. He had to take our form and nature in order that he might be able to suffer. Because as the Son of God, he could never suffer. It was impossible for the Son of God to suffer. That's why he became the Son of Man, in order that he would be able to suffer. See his humiliation. See all that he undertook. They put a crown of thorns upon his head. They put nails through his hands and his feet. They pierced his side with a sword. They put a crown of thorns upon his head so that the blood rushed from his crown down through his face. All of that he undertook in order to save people. Can you imagine the immense cost? Can you imagine the physical sufferings more than that? Can you imagine the tremendous spiritual sufferings and agonies that Jesus went through there as God laid upon him the sin of mankind? What a tremendous cost it took to secure the salvation of people. Are you going to reject that? Are you going to say to God, we don't want this. We'll make our own way to heaven. There must be another way. There's not. How shall we escape if we ignore such salvation? Hebrews chapter 2, verse 3. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? There's no other way to escape, friends. There's no other exit. There's no other plan. This is not up for negotiation. God has done something. He is publishing terms of peace. He is telling us to repent. He is telling us to have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. He's telling us to turn our backs upon our old ways. He's telling us to forsake our sins. He's telling us to repent. He's telling us to call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And what is the wonderful promise? And ye shall be saved. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's the great news of the Bible. And that's why we're here this afternoon, to tell you about this one. Free Church of Scotland. But we're here telling you about Jesus. We're here telling you about the Son of God and what he has done. The Bible tells us in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the chief. These are the words recorded by the Apostle Paul. This is a trustworthy saying, or this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the chief. Here the Apostle Paul is willing to identify with all of us. He acknowledges, even as a Christian, even as a great Christian, even as a notable Christian, he is saying, I am the chief of sinners. But what's more important, I have a glorious Savior. I have the Son of God, that one whose very mission, whose purpose was to come and to save sinners. I see people passing by here, as I've done on other occasions, and they're shaking their heads. They're shaking their heads in disbelief. They don't accept the things of the Bible. Friends, one day will come. One day will come when you will be glad that you listened. One day you would love to hear these things preached to you, because one day we'll stand before the Lord Jesus, that great one that we proclaim as Savior to you. One day that person will be a judge. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, according to that he has done, whether it be good or bad. Therefore, knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. That's why we're here. We're here to tell you about this person. We're here to tell you that in of yourselves, by nature, you're not fit, you're not ready to meet God. Something must happen. You must be born again. You must be transformed. You must be changed. I know that many people have a hope. Many people have a hope that the one day when they pass into eternity, that they will go to heaven. If you ask them quietly, they'll tell you, yes, I hope to go to heaven. But friends, do you know that heaven is a holy place? Do you know heaven is a place without sin? Heaven is a place where God is, where the Father is, where the Son is, and where the Holy Spirit is. Heaven is a place where all the holy angels are. And heaven is a place where all the saints of God are. It's an absolutely holy and pure place. And if we were to get to heaven, and I'm speaking hypothetically on this occasion, but if we were to get to heaven just the way we are, you would never enjoy heaven. Heaven would be a terrible place for you, because you need to be changed. You need to be made like God. You need to be prepared for heaven. And if ourselves by nature were unfit, we would not enjoy heaven. One day I was on the street here, and a man came up to me and he said, I don't want to go to the heaven of the Bible. I don't want to go to that place that's described in heaven in the Bible. The man was quite right. The man was wise. The man was sensible. The man recognized that he was sinful, and that had he gone to heaven, he would never enjoy it. It would be a hell to him. And this would remind us that we must be changed. That's what Jesus said to Nicodemus. And Nicodemus was a religious person. Nicodemus was a person who would be teaching ministers the gospel. He was a professor of theology in his day. And he came to Jesus by night. And he wanted to ask Jesus various questions. But Jesus didn't answer him. Jesus just simply told him, ye must be born again. There must be a tremendous change come over you, Nicodemus. You'll never understand. You'll never appreciate. You'll never know. You'll never be in the kingdom of God. You'll never see it unless you are born again. And this is what we tell you, friends. Heaven is for those who are born again. Heaven is for those who have a spiritual resurrection, who are alive in Christ Jesus. And we'll never want to go to the heaven of the Bible unless we're born again. We must be prepared for that place. Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there ye may be with me also. Jesus has gone to prepare a place. And you know what's happening now today, friends? People are being prepared for that place. And you must be prepared for heaven. If you ever want to be in heaven, you must be prepared. How can you be prepared? You must trust upon the Lord Jesus Christ. You must call upon this individual that he would save you, that he would prepare you for glory. That's what you must do. And that's why we're here this afternoon, to tell you of this person. Today is the day of salvation. Do not harden your hearts as you've done on other occasions. Now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. Come, consider then Christ. Consider what he's done. Consider what he offers. Forgiveness of sins. Reconciliation with God. All of these things will be found in Christ. Therefore, we bid you to come to him. Come then. Turn away from your sin. Go in a different direction. Your lives are going in one direction at the moment. Go in another direction. That's what it means to repent, to forsake your ways, your old ways, and take up the cross and follow the Lord Jesus Christ. And whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. We're going to end our time. We'll hear from Partick, Free Church of Scotland continuing, and we meet on the Lord's Day, Sunday, at 2 Thornwood Terrace, just off Dumbarton Road, up from the police station. Please come along. We meet at 11 a.m. and again 6:30 p.m. You would be warmly welcomed. May God bless His word to you this afternoon.